Hello, and welcome to your AQA A-Level Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your guide for today, and we're diving into one of the most philosophically rich and genuinely fascinating topics on the specification, religious experience. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. Have you ever had a moment, maybe standing somewhere beautiful or in a moment of crisis, where you felt something bigger than yourself? Something you couldn't quite put into words? That's exactly the kind of experience philosophers and theologians have been wrestling with for centuries. Today's episode is going to take you through everything you need to know for the exam. We'll cover William James and his famous Pint framework, Rudolf Otto's concept of the numinous, Richard Swinburne's cumulative argument, and then we'll look at the big challenges, Freud, Feuerbach, and Persinger's extraordinary God Helmet experiment. I'll give you exam tips, flag the common mistakes that cost candidates marks, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test your memory. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with William James. James was an American philosopher and psychologist who published his landmark work, The Varieties of Religious Experience, in 1902. This book is the foundation of almost everything we discuss in this topic, so it's worth knowing that date. James studied hundreds of firsthand accounts of religious experience and identified four key characteristics that he believed were common to genuine mystical experiences. He called them the marks of mysticism, and the easiest way to remember them is the acronym P-E-I-N-T. P is for passive. The experience happens to the recipient. They don't choose it or control it. It comes upon them. Think of St. Paul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't seeking a vision of Christ, it overwhelmed him. That passivity is crucial. I is for ineffable. This means the experience cannot be adequately described in words. The person who has it will often say things like, "I just can't explain it," or "language fails me." This is a really important characteristic, and I want you to be careful here. Ineffable means indescribable, not that it imparts knowledge. Don't mix those two up. That's a classic exam mistake. N is for noetic. This is the one that trips people up. Noetic means the experience imparts knowledge or insight, a sense of deep understanding about the nature of reality, God, or the universe that goes beyond what ordinary rational thought could produce. So the person doesn't just feel something, they come away knowing something. T is for transient. The experience is short-lived. It doesn't last indefinitely. Even the most profound mystical vision fades, though its effects on the person may be permanent. So, passive, ineffable, noetic, transient, PIA, like a pint of something refreshing after a long revision session. Now let's move to Rudolf Otto. Otto was a German theologian who published The Idea of the Holy in 1917. He introduced the concept of the numinous, a term he coined to describe the unique, irreducible quality of religious experience. The numinous is the sense of encountering something wholly other, something utterly beyond human comprehension. Otto described this encounter using the Latin phrase mysterium tremendum et fascinans. Let's break that down. Mysterium. It is a mystery, something beyond rational explanation. Tremendum. It provokes awe, dread, even terror. Think of the Old Testament figure of Isaiah in the temple, overwhelmed by the presence of God, crying out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Fascinans. At the same time, it is utterly fascinating, drawing the experiencer in. You are simultaneously terrified and compelled. Otto's contribution is significant for the exam because he argues that religious experience is sui generis, that is, in a category of its own. It cannot be reduced to psychology, emotion, or anything else. This is a powerful counter to reductionist critics like Freud. Now let's look at Richard Swinburne, the Oxford philosopher who provides perhaps the most rigorous philosophical defense of religious experience as evidence for God's existence. Swinburne's argument is cumulative. He builds it from two principles. The first is the principle of credulity. This states that, as a matter of rational procedure, if something seems to be the case, we should believe that it is the case, unless we have specific reason to doubt it. In everyday life, we operate this way constantly. If I seem to see a red bus, I believe there is a red bus, unless I have reason to think I'm hallucinating. Swinburne says we should apply the same principle to religious experience. If someone seems to experience God, the rational default is to believe they did, unless there is specific counter-evidence. The second is the principle of testimony. We generally accept what other people sincerely report experiencing, unless we have good reason to doubt them. Swinburne points out that across all cultures, all historical periods, millions of people have sincerely reported religious experiences. The sheer weight of this testimony, he argues, shifts the burden of proof. It becomes more probable than not that at least some of these experiences are veridical, that is, genuinely of God. This is a crucial distinction for high-level answers. The question is not whether the experience happened, it clearly did, as a psychological event, but whether the interpretation of that experience as being of God is valid. Swinburne says the cumulative testimony makes that interpretation the most rational one. Now, the challenges. And this is where the exam really separates the top candidates from the rest. Sigmund Freud, in The Future of an Illusion, published in 1927, argued that religious experience is a projection of unconscious psychological needs. We create a father figure God to satisfy our deep-seated desire for protection and security. Ludwig Feuerbach made a similar point earlier, arguing in The Essence of Christianity that God is simply humanity's idealized self-image projected outward. Both are reductionist accounts. They explain religious experience away as something other than what it claims to be. But here's a key philosophical point for your essays. Both Freud and Feuerbach commit what is known as the genetic fallacy. They explain the origin of religious belief in psychological terms and assume that this explanation disproves the belief. But the origin of a belief does not determine its truth or falsity. Even if religious experience does arise partly from psychological need, that doesn't mean God doesn't exist. The experience could be both psychologically mediated and genuinely of God. This is a powerful counterargument that will earn you marks in AO2. Then there's Michael Persinger. In the 1980s and 1990s, Persinger, a neuroscientist, conducted experiments using a modified motorcycle helmet fitted with electromagnetic coils, which the press dubbed the God helmet. He applied weak magnetic fields to the temporal lobes of subjects' brains and reported that around 80% of them experienced a sense of presence, feelings of awe, and in some cases what they described as religious or mystical experiences. Persinger's conclusion was that religious experiences are generated by temporal lobe activity. They are, in his view, a neurological phenomenon with no supernatural cause. This is a powerful naturalistic challenge. However, and this is critical for your essays, the existence of a neural correlate does not disprove a divine cause. Think of it this way. If God were to communicate with a human being, you would expect that communication to involve the brain. The fact that we can identify which part of the brain is active during a religious experience no more disproves God's existence than identifying which neurons fire when you see a real tree disproves the existence of trees. This counterargument is essential for top band AO2 responses. Right, let's talk exam technique. The AQA paper for this topic has two question types, a 10-mark AO1 question and a 15-mark AO2 question. That's 25 marks total, and the split is 40% AO1, 60% AO2. So evaluation is where the marks really are. For the 10-mark AO1 question, you have 15 minutes. You are being assessed purely on knowledge and understanding. Use precise terminology, ineffable, noetic, numinous, veridical, sui generis. Name your scholars. Give specific examples. Don't pad with biography. Examiners are not interested in where William James was born. They want to know what he argued. For the 15-mark AO2 question, you have 30 minutes. This is where you evaluate. The single biggest mistake candidates make is sitting on the fence. AQA mark schemes explicitly reward responses that argue for a specific, sustained conclusion. Don't end with, "so there are arguments on both sides." End with, "therefore, on balance, the argument from religious experience does or does not provide convincing evidence for God's existence." Because, common mistakes to avoid. Number one, confusing ineffable and noetic. Ineffable means you can't describe it. Noetic means it gives you knowledge. They are different. Number two, the genetic fallacy. Don't assume that because Freud explains the psychological origin of religious belief, he has therefore disproved God. Call it out as a fallacy. Number three, writing a biography of St. Paul or Teresa of Avila. Examiners want philosophical analysis of what their experiences tell us, not a narrative of what happened to them. Number four, using the God helmet as a general science disproves religion point. Use it specifically and precisely, as a challenge to the claim that religious experiences are caused by God, and then counter it with the neural correlate argument. One more tip. When discussing corporate experiences like the Toronto Blessing of 1994, where thousands of people in a Toronto church reported simultaneous religious experiences, including laughing, crying, and falling, make sure you explicitly contrast the skeptic's explanation of mass hysteria with the believer's interpretation of shared revelation. That contrast is exactly what AO2 questions are looking for. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a moment, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what does the I in PIS stand for? Ineffable, cannot be described in words. Question two, what Latin phrase did Rudolf Otto use to describe the numinous? Mysterium tremendum et fascinans. Question three, what is Swinburne's principle of credulity? If something seems to be the case, we should believe it is the case unless we have specific reason to doubt it. Question four, what logical fallacy do Freud and Feuerbach commit? The genetic fallacy, assuming that explaining the origin of a belief disproves it. Question five, what did Persinger's God Helmet experiment claim to demonstrate? That religious experiences can be induced by applying electromagnetic fields to the temporal lobes, suggesting a neurological rather than divine cause. Let's bring it all together. Religious experience is a topic that sits right at the heart of the philosophy of religion, and it's one where the quality of your philosophical reasoning really shines through. Remember, James gives us pint, passive, ineffable, noetic, transient. Otto gives us the numinous, mysterium tremendum et fascinans, and argues experience is sui generis. Swinburne builds a cumulative case using credulity and testimony. The challenges come from Freud and Feuerbach's reductionism, which commits the genetic fallacy, and from Persinger's God Helmet, which you counter with the neural correlate argument. In your essays, take a position, be bold, argue clearly. Use precise philosophical language, and always distinguish between the fact of the experience and the validity of the interpretation. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.